This is our number 10!
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Double duty! Chris Martin's producing the show today, and I just heard you voice a story in the newscast, Chris. You're like the most versatile guy I know.
I thought you were going to bring that up.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me nervous, though, because, as you know, I'm so needy that I fear that anything that takes any focus away from the show is...
I did that yesterday, if that it makes you more comfortable.
That makes me much more comfortable. Yes, all right. Because I'm, as you can tell when we work together, I'm so very needy. Aren't I?
You're so easy to work with, it's amazing.
I'm like the least needy person around.
I know.
Which leads me to, I want to go off on a little rant on these city council members some more. I know they have a 2 o'clock meeting, but here's the thing. Here's our little advantage. Since you're producing today and Nicole's back tomorrow, but everybody associates Nicole with my show, and so they always say no to her. But since you do news stuff and you're part of, you know, the whole radio station, do you think there's any way that any of those council members would squeeze a few minutes out for us before the 2 o'clock meeting starts? if you asked,
I'll try. I don't think they will at all.
I don't either. But it's worth a shot.
Is there your personal favorite you'd like to talk to?
Yeah, the three with absolutely zero moral compass. Don't tell them I said that when you're making the request. But in that soundbite, Lisa Herbold, Andrew Lewis, and Dan Strauss, the ones who all said they wanted to increase spending on the police when they were candidates, and now they want to cut it by 50%. I would love, and you know, Carmen Best said you'll have to ask them. I would love to ask them, and maybe they want a chance to respond to their unbelievable hypocrisy. So let's give them that opportunity at least. Do you mind?
No, sure. I'll send a request right now.
Okay. All right. That'd be fantastic. Because here's the thing. Instead of cutting Carmen Best's salary, and again, they just voted, and they're only going to cut it by a little, they say. Well, she shouldn't be cut a penny. Bunch of racists, they are. Let's cut the black woman's salary. See, I can play the game that they play all the time. I can use the same rhetoric that they use. But she's got the toughest job imaginable. You know, trying to keep the cops happy, under her command, at a time when police morale is at an all-time low, dealing with absolute insane hypocrisy on the Seattle City Council. Let's increase spending. Let's get more cops. Let's cut police by 50%. Same people saying those things. Carmen Best shouldn't be cut a penny. Here's what we got to do. It really is time to defund. And I brought this idea up years ago. It's time to defund the Seattle City Council. It's time to get rid of four of the nine members. Do you realize that Los Angeles, which is about 10 times the size of Seattle, do you know how many city councilmen they have in Los Angeles? Five. $5 foot long. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. No, they only have five in Los Angeles. Why do we need nine? And every one of them has... you know, 8, 10, six-figure staffers. You want to save some real money, get rid of Kshama Sawant and Tammy Morales. Get rid of Lisa Herbold, although I'll miss her nose ring. Get rid of Dan Strauss and Andrew Lewis. All these hypocrites who lie to get elected or are lying now and willing to destroy the city. You cut for every city council member you cut, you would save about $2 million if you got rid of all of their little lackey hanger-on staffers, too. Yes, the same lackey hanger-on staffers that Chris is contacting right now to see if their boss will come on my show. Again, I'm not going to pull punches so I can get interviews. Let's defund the city council. Let's cut their salaries in half. How much do they make? About 140 grand? I'm ballparking it off the top of my head. Cut them to 70. The average working class salary in Seattle. 70,000. Make them live on that. Get rid of all their six-figure staffers. And let's reduce the size of a body of government that wants to destroy this region, not just the city, because we're seeing it. We're seeing it throughout the region. The Seattle problems have infected all of the Puget Sound area. I talked about that at the top of the show. Three arsons in Olympia last night, including a church. They're going after the churches now. Stabbing in Everett this morning. Guys shooting at cops, and they had to shoot and kill them down in Pierce County last night. The entire region is infected with the virus that came out of a lab in Seattle. The lab is Seattle City Hall. The mad scientists are Lorena Gonzalez, Andrew Lewis, Alex Peterson, Lisa Herbal, Tammy Morales, John Masawan, Deborah Warris, Teresa Mosqueda, Dan Strauss. Defund the Seattle City Council. Cut all of their salaries by 50%. Eliminate four of the nine jobs so we have the same size council as Los Angeles. And then we can start talking. Any cuts that they impose on public officials, they have to accept for themselves. You want to cut police by 50%? Fine. Cut the Seattle City Council by 50% too. That should be in the city charter. That should be absolutely mandated. Speaking of all of that, I didn't know I was going to go off on this rant, but it's just it's heartbreaking to watch what is happening to our city. It is tearing me apart because we are going to see rampant crime. We're already seeing rampant crime. And then you combine that with depolicing, eliminating jails, activist prosecutors, activist judges, all with the goal to flood our region with criminals. That is the only goal, so that they can destroy from within and rebuild with all their genius, all their collective genius. So speaking of the Los Angeles City Council, which only has five members on it, how about this hypocrite? Mike Bonin, he was among the council members to vote to slash the Los Angeles police budget a couple of months ago. Guess what? He's called the police nine times because he was scared of the rioting. Eight times. Since April, because he was scared of the rioting and he wanted the police to come protect him from the protesters. So that's another example. A council member wants to cut the budget by 50% for the cops, but is calling the cops eight times. Come save me. I'm scared. You're scared at what you've created. All right. It's time to start a massive defund the Seattle City Council movement and to eliminate four of the nine city council members and all of their attendant staffers. Save millions and millions of dollars. Are you with me? As soon as all this madness settles down, I will launch a massive campaign to do just that. Let's get rid of the Seattle City Council. They're trying to destroy us. They lied to get their jobs, or they're lying now. Either way, they are lying about these police budgets. And we shouldn't have such liars destroying our region. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, I just got to share. I need something fun here, and this is sure fun. I'm not the biggest soccer fan in the world, but by golly, do I love good soccer play-by-play guys. Lionel Messi is regarded as one of the great players in history, plays for FC Barcelona now. And I just want you to have a moment to enjoy as he, and it's pretty spectacular. He goes through four guys, falls down, launches a left-footed kick at an absolutely impossible angle that just barely gets inside the far post on the goal. It is truly spectacular. But listen to the call by this play-by-play guy.
Messi teasing Mario Rui and coming up with the ball, Lionel Messi. Oh, he hasn't, has he? He is just a conjurer, a ripper up of reason, a dream machine, a perennial Caesar of the day. Just another Lionel Messi gem.
How about that? He's a conjurer, a ripper upper of reason, a dream machine. That's a call right there. I thought that was wonderful. At the other end of the sports world, the collective madness that has descended upon our nation with coronavirus is now threatening the college football season. The Big Ten reportedly has decided it will not play this fall. So Ohio State, Michigan, all of those schools, they're not going to play this fall. The Pac-12, including the Huskies and the Cougs, they are expected to announce tomorrow that they are not going to play this fall. Now, again, can somebody make sense of this for me? That it's somehow from a public health standpoint, because the kids who are playing college football, they get tested every single day. They do the temperature thing. They get COVID tested at least a couple times a week as well. So, and all of these big-time college football programs, they have fantastic medical staffs. And so we're going to have a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-old college kids without the focus of athletics in their life. They're going to be just turned loose. They're going to be going to parties. They're not going to stay away from partying. You know that. They're going to be socializing with friends. They're going to be taking even more risks because they don't have a college football season that they're trying to protect. And so from a public health standpoint, what sense does it make to tell thousands of 18 to 21-year-olds, you're on your own, just go do what you do, hope you don't catch it, versus the discipline of daily practices and gearing up for games? They would be in empty stadiums, so there wouldn't be any additional exposure. Having fine medical staff checking them, this doesn't make any sense. In Major League Baseball, the Miami Marlins, they had an outbreak early in the restarted season. And there was all this pressure on Major League Baseball to, you got to suspend the season. Cancel baseball. Well, they didn't. MLB did not cave in to the madness. And guess what happened? Looks like the Miami Marlins have herd immunity. Against all reason, they actually have the best record in baseball right now, even though they don't have anywhere near the type of personnel that would justify that. And the season's going on. Here you have college football, which is quitting for the fall with no health data to support it at all. In fact, as I just laid out, it would be much, much safer for the kids if they were still playing and being attended to every day and had a medical staff attending to them. The NFL is still going forward with the season. And as a friend of mine said this morning, that's because the NFL is run by capitalists and college football is run by mainly government bureaucrats. And one operates in the realm of actual data and reason, and one operates in the realm of mass hysteria. And that's where college football is right now, mass hysteria, which is, you know, being foisted upon all of us these days. Okay, what else we got? Oh, did I mention that three-time Emmy Award-winning actress Patricia Heaton? She's going to join us right after the 1:30 news. Everybody Loves Raymond. That's great, great show. And then The Middle was on as long as Everybody Loves Raymond. And I didn't watch that, but I think she's fantastic. She's also a very rare Republican in Hollywood, but she's not a Trump fan. So I'll talk to her about all of that. But she's talking mostly about, you know, transitioning in life when, you know, your kids are grown and what's your second act going to be, which is really cool, interesting stuff and stuff that I think about an awful lot these days. So Patricia Eaton's coming up right after the news. All right. And finally, in the Fastest 15, this is shocking. Amidst all of the, you know, thirst for information, our radio station, our Seattle's Morning News, just had the best ratings that I've ever seen for our morning news. Congratulations to them for that as well. Just absolutely phenomenal. There was a time back in the 70s and 80s when Cairo Radio would get like a 17 share, and that doesn't happen in radio anymore. We're all too fragmented, and we have too many other places where we can get information. But our morning news is just killing it right now, doing a great job. And we're seeing that in some other mediums as well. Fox News just had the highest-ranked primetime hours in all of television. Not in cable news, not in just cable TV. In all of television, Fox News beat ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox in primetime, which is amazing because there are still a lot of families that don't, who have cut the cord or never had the cord, and the broadcast networks still have millions and millions more available households. But the Fox primetime lineup is the most watched television in all of the medium these days. And again, because they dare to present a viewpoint that's contrary to the mass hysteria that's been foisted upon all of us by too many politicians and too many in the media. So sometimes being a contrarian is a good thing. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Okay, right after the news, actress Patricia Heaton joins us. I'm looking forward to this. That's next. The Dory Monson Show rolls on. Well, let me welcome to the show. She is a three-time Emmy Award winner. She's also the author of a brand new book titled Your Second Act. Actress Patricia Heaton joins us. Patricia, what a fantastic pleasure to have you on today.
Oh, I really appreciate you having me. Thank you.
Absolutely. I had so much I want to talk with you about. I've been doing so much research on you. But I want to start with the obvious, because I always do. How long did Everybody Loves Raymond run? 9, 10 years, something like that?
Yeah, nine and a half.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
What, I've heard you talk so much about the show. What is it like when something like that comes to an end? Because you had such a tight ensemble. You see these people all the time. And I just cannot imagine what it's like life-wise to go from something like that for nearly a decade to it just ending. What's that like?
Oh, Well, it is hard. First of all, you know, you've grown up with these people on the show. You know, our kids were all being born while we were doing that show, and, you know, very little, and you go through all those traumas together. You know everything about everybody's families and what's happening. And so you're really tight, and it's very strange in that last episode to think it's never going to be that way ever again. So that's pretty tough. And then the other part of it is, you know, that schedule kind of defines the rhythm of your life. And so when that intense schedule is no longer there, you know, I personally felt a bit at sea. You know, you're kind of feeling a little floaty because there's not that thing that's anchoring you. I mean, obviously you still have your family and, you know, you're still raising the kids, but it's just a weird thing. And it's like that. It was the same when The Middle ended, which is also, was also a 9-year run. And it just, your kind of identity is attached deeply to that show that runs that long. And you kind of have to shake it off after it's over and think, okay, I'm back to being just mom, just wife. And it's a huge adjustment. But, you know, in a way, it's to be able to make those adjustments is a really healthy skill to have. Because as we've seen with this pandemic, now everybody's had to make huge adjustments. Everybody's lives have been turned upside down. And I think for people in the entertainment industry, we're used to being to having things turned upside down quite a bit and always. And even if you're on a successful show, you know at some point it's going to end. So nothing in this business lasts forever. And sometimes that rug is pulled right out from under you without you knowing it. You know, you go and work and they say, okay, we're canceled. Everybody go home. So, you know, you never know. So I think we're well suited for something like a pandemic because we've always had to adjust and pivot in the entertainment industry.
Now, the reason I started with that is because I know your book, your second act, is about how you transition to life when your kids are grown, for one thing, because, you know, and I know that you are a devout Catholic and that your faith anchors your life. My faith anchors mine as well. My wife and I have three daughters who are now all in their 20s and grown. And it's something, you and I are about the same age. It's something that we all wrestle with because I have my radio show. I've been doing this for 25 years, but I don't want my life to be defined by that. I want it to be defined by faith and family. And it's hard when your kids are grown to figure out what you're going to do after that.
Yeah, and, you know, our identities have been really tied up in being a parent. And, of course, that's right, and that's good because, you know, our families are everything. We've seen during the pandemic that how precious it is to have been spending all this time with family. We were empty nesters until the pandemic, and suddenly three of our four sons are back in the house, you know. But it's been wonderful, right? Have you really enjoyed having the kids? And thankfully, we've not had to homeschool them. I am so grateful that this pandemic happened out of school because, oh, my God, you know, nightmare. I think, you know, the time that you're spending in parenting and in your radio career and my acting career, you know, we're learning and growing all the time, hopefully. And so hopefully all those things can feed into thinking about what the next thing might be. I mean, part of my sort of later in life addition is working with World Vision, which is a largest NGO in the world, largest provider of clean water. And I've been able to travel all over Africa and in the Middle East with them. And that's been, you know, very wonderful for me. And I've been just blessed that I feel like God has used my career as a platform to help bring clean water to people in other countries. So it's been wonderful to see that I don't have to abandon my career to do something else in the world. But in fact, it's a wonderful platform to leap off of to transition into doing more philanthropic work. So that's been great for me. And then within our industry, I've been transitioning into producing. My husband and I have produced movies before, but we're working on one now that we developed the script. We're financing it. You know, we're calling all the shots. He's directing. And so that's been a really challenging and scary and thrilling opportunity for me. I really enjoy it, and I was surprised at how much I how happy I am being behind the camera. And part of me was like, I don't think I ever want to act again. I'd rather just watch the actors sweat it out and not have to have that pressure on me. You know, so that's been a real revelation for me, is that if I don't act again, I hope I do because I like and enjoy it. But if I don't,
sure,
there's other things that fulfill me. And I think that's a wonderful place to be, to realize you're not completely tied to one thing.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of us, you know, there are changes too, where I used to be a pretty athletic guy, but when you get up into a few years, I had to stop playing basketball a couple of years ago, and things like that. It's just so challenging when your kids are everything, when you've had lifetime, you know, passions that you just have to give up, and so it's interesting. I love talking to people about making that transition too. How about with friends? Because your kids' friends' parents tend to become your best friends, and that's what my wife and I have talked a lot about. Is as we move along, where are we going to find those next peer groups?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I don't know if you have this feeling, but when I meet someone at this stage in my life who I really connect with, I'm so excited because it's really cool to make new friends.
That's
and,
right.
You know, that's happened to us in the last couple of years. We met a couple who lived down the street from us, and now we vacation together. So, you know, it's so exciting. And I'm still in touch with a lot of the parents. I think we all bond so much over our worries for our kids and all that stuff. I mean, it's parenting is just a wonderful adventure. It's really, really hard, but there's so much benefit that comes with it and so many wonderful people to meet. And you just, you know, you learn a lot about yourself. You have to grow in patience and wisdom, hopefully. And it's an all-around wonderful thing. But, you know, it's a huge thing when all the kids are out of the house, and then you're sort of like, those parents aren't necessarily around as much. Your kids aren't there. Who are you? What's your identity now? And I think this book has a lot of inspirational stories of people who, boy, stuff was just taken away from them. Tao Papua, an NFL football player, got injured and ended up becoming an international opera star. He left for New York City and became a waiter at a restaurant across the street from the Metropolitan Opera in order to meet opera people. And, you know, it's just an amazing story. He took the skills that he learned and the discipline that he learned as a football player and just put that into pursuing his dream to be an opera singer. And I think we all have stuff that maybe we're not even aware that we've been learning as we've been parenting and we've been in some other business that can help us pivot to the next thing. And sometimes it's just figuring out what that next thing is. And that's probably the trickiest part.
Yeah, maybe I'll try opera. I've never thought about that. I'm not much of a singer, but what the heck. Okay, Patricia, stick around. Patricia Heaton is with us, 3-time Emmy winner, and I haven't even gotten into any politics here. She's very rare. She grew up a Democrat, and she says the Democrat Party has completely abandoned her. So I want to find out about that. So stick around, Patricia. We'll continue our conversation with Patricia Heaton as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Talking with actress Patricia Heaton, her book is Your Second Act. And then just finally, Deborah, you're kind of the rare conservative Republican. You're not that conservative. You're a moderate who's a Republican in Hollywood. I know you're not a big fan of President Trump. I could never vote for Joe Biden. What do you think about this race, this presidential race?
I think we're in a tough position here. I wish we had better choices.
Really?
I don't know how we ended up here. I mean, I have really, you know, here's the thing. I'm Irish Catholic from Cleveland. I've been a Democrat all my life, right? And then unfortunately, I'm also a very strong Catholic, and the Democrat Party got very extreme and is currently very extreme on abortion. So that's a huge moral and ethical issue for me as a Catholic and as a human being and as a mom. So it's been tough because I've had to just retreat from politics pretty much altogether, because it's been sort of soul destroying. And I think we've seen that if you're at all on social media, what has come out in people who, who are normal, nice people. I mean, yeah. They've turned into like Gollum, on
really
social media. I am now like, I don't care what people's politics are. I look at what do you do? How do you treat people? Where do you put your energy day to day? And that's how I, judge people. I don't look at people's politics, because politics has made everybody crazy on at every part of the spectrum, right, left. It's gone out of control. And so I'm just trying to do what I can to make my community better, doing volunteer work, trying to help people on the ground where they need it. And there's a lot of need right now because of this pandemic. People need food. People need work. Parents need daycare. Where are their kids going to go to school? There's a lot of opportunities to be a force for good and a force for positive change that has nothing to do with politics. So that's where I'm at right now with this whole situation. I'm a little nervous about the election. I think regardless of who wins, there's going to be a lot of turmoil. So not looking forward to that. I'm a little nervous about that. But, I just got to pray. Ultimately, it's all in God's hands, and I'm, going to go with that.
There you go. All right. Actress Patricia Heaton, 3-time Emmy Award winner. It's really fun talking with you. I enjoyed this a lot, and I'm really glad you could come on. Her new book is Your Second Act. Patricia, thank you for your time, and all my best to you.
Hey, I really appreciate you having me. Thanks for taking the time.
You bet. All right. Patricia Heaton joining us. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. And we have lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show.